Hello, welcome to our pre-show here. And this is for this is for the fourth. I'm getting over a cold. A cold that I acquired 1 week ago today, really. I mean, 1 week ago Thursday night, so it'd be a week ago Thursday. Is that how you say it? We got done with our tech rehearsal, and I noticed I had a scratchy throat. I thought it was simply because I'd strained my throat being really loud. And the next day, Friday, a week ago today, I noticed that it was more than just a strained throat. I was noticing that it felt like maybe I had a sore throat. Not really. And then it got, then it got to the stuffy nose stage. I'd never had a fever, and I was able to, go to the tech rehearsal last week and then was able to stay in bed all day Saturday and then go and do the show on Saturday night. So, but the cold from that point forward peaked. It kind of peaked. I think it peaked on Sunday. The next day, Sunday, it was really bad. Came home Monday, then things began to get better. But I've had this cough lingering. What they call it, it's not really exactly a dry cough, but, that's like I say, man, that's what happens, dude, when you go against your better instincts, which were wear a fucking mask, Phil. Well, okay, maybe I shouldn't because nobody else is wearing a mask and kind of COVID's over and, you know, everybody's fine. And I think it's okay and everything's groovy and everything's bitching. And it was for a while. And then all of a sudden, you know, here I am with the fucking cold. I asked Jackie, I said, you wear a mask? She says, nobody wears a mask in Florida. I said, oh, that's right. I forgot. They're whatever. I'll refrain from my being too descriptive there. All right, man. So we're heading into a weekend. It was a good week last week, that's for sure. We had a great show and a great live show. And now I am preparing to get my house on the market to sell. We did a whole bunch of shit. You notice, if you go to my Instagram account, which is Phil Hendry, P-H-I-L-H-E-N-D-R-I-E, and it's verified. It's got the little blue check mark. I posted something today. For those of you guys in Miami, do you remember the Jimmy Rice golf tournaments? The Phil Hendry golf tournament to benefit the Jimmy Rice Center? We did two of them, and this is a flyer or a kind of a little broadside pamphlet that I think we put in some of our sponsors' stores, this kind of thing. We had them also at the front desk at WIOD that announced the golf tournament for May of 1996. So that would have been, Jesus Christ, we're coming up on 29 years ago. You got to be kidding me, man. It's true, though. It's fucking true. That would put it, 96. And within 6 months, I would be gone and off to L.A. So May, we had another one in August. And then by October, I was on to KFI in Los Angeles. What a great time we had in Miami. I loved it. I loved Miami. And I loved working at WIOD. And I will always say that. And I said that to George Rodriguez, God rest his soul, when I talked to George on his podcast. I said, do you remember one thing that was true about that time? He said, what? I said, everybody was happy. We were happy. He goes, yeah, we were. I said, we came to work every day happy. I mean, we didn't know what was going to happen. The place was so unpredictable. Neil, of course, kind of set the tone with whatever was bugging him that day, and everybody kind of picked up on it, or somebody else was doing something. I'd do some shit. Rick and Sons do some shit. And we had a ball. We had a fucking ball. And as much as I loved KFI, and I did love KFI, I never had as much fun at a radio station as I did at WIOD. It was, I don't know, man, it was like a reward, you know, for, you know how you slug through a career? And God almighty, from the time I began my career at the age of 20, in May of 1973, at WBJW 1440, and went to BJ 105, very unironically, you would say those callers, there was a WK, I told you the joke that a friend of mine, Dick Wilson, who worked at, his name was Dick, and he worked at WKIS, KISS 740. I worked at BJ 1440. He said, well, you get a KISS at 740, but a BJ at 1440. Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, the whole thing was pretty interesting, man. It was a great time. All right, so I'm going to go and check out and see what we're going to do today. It's an encore show, this Friday show. And, you know, we slugged through some shows this week. We have a... what was it? The Dutch Colgate show? I forget his name. Dutch Wadsworth. What the fuck is this cat? Oh, the Dutch Townsgate show. This is a character that talks like this. I gotta explore this character because it doesn't talk good. I want to explore that. We had Catscapes, and we also had an interview with the three principals from the show. Now, people have asked me, am I going to do another show? You know what? I should talk about this on the show, so let me just get into the bloody show itself. We're going to do an encore. I've logged in. What is, where are we? It's February of, no, it's October. That's where we are. October. Let's see what was happening, man. What's the date? The 4th? Oh, boy. The show, The Old Man, which I really, really, really dug the first season of and was watching on Hulu, and I recommended to Jackie that we watch the second season. And, you know, I love Jeff Bridges and John Lithgow and Joel McRae and everybody and Amy Brenneman. I love them all, man. They're all my favorite people, honest. And I'm not being facetious at all. I love them. I think the second season really kind of just let me down a little bit, because what you have in the first season of The Old Man is this really cool story of this very old guy. He's in his 70s, but still really fucking sharp and on his game as a deep cover agent for the CIA. But he's gone off the grid. He's absconded, as they say. And he doesn't want to be part of the agency or the company anymore. And he's living sort of surreptitiously, and they're coming after him for a variety of reasons. They need him. They want to kill him. And he kicks ass on guys that are like 50 years younger than him. Barely, just barely. I mean, he comes away from these fights badly injured himself. He comes away from these fights really hurt. But he's got two dogs, two fucking pit bulls, that, like those pit bulls in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, you remember the ones that Brad Pitt's character had, just whistle and they just go for some guy's nuts? That's basically these two dogs that Jeff Bridges' character has. So he winds up kicking ass on everybody, and he's kind of living this shadowy life. I dug the shit out of it. And he meets Amy Brenneman. She's a woman she's a landlady that he meets. He's renting a place, and they fall in love. Okay, that's cool. And turns out he's got money. He's got a place in Los Angeles. He's got an apartment at a high-rise on Wilshire. Okay, that's cool. But now we start to get, at the end of the season, he's in, where the fuck is he? I think he's in Morocco. He's at a hotel, a very swank hotel. He winds up hooking or meeting up with some dude he'd known in Afghanistan. Now the Afghanistan connection comes in, and it starts to get way fucking too complicated. Way too fucking complicated. And the story, it just isn't all that fucking interesting. I get it. All right, he's got a daughter. She's Afghani. He fucked the wife of a warlord over there, and the guy wants him dead, and he's got to go and chill it out. And John Lithgow, who was his boss at the FBI, goes with him. And all this bullshit. And suddenly, where we had Jeff Bridges on the run and Amy Brenneman sort of falling in love with him and going and joining him as he tries to just live a life away from the CIA, and they need to have him dead, and he's you know, lurking in and out of the shadows. It's sort of cool. Now we got him in Afghanistan with John Lithgow, and whatever, man. And the young girl who is now an FBI agent, who is also his daughter from Afghanistan, he brought her over to America or something. I don't know. So we're gonna finish it. We're at episode 4. There's another one. We've watched so many of them that we've outpaced Hulu's ability to drop the episodes, so we're waiting for the next one to drop. I don't know. All right, so I just took a lot of time talking about nothing. All right, October 4th. What is it? October 4th. I probably put on the air conditioner. Sorry if it's too loud, you guys. Steve Bozell interrupts Larry and Gloria Grover's show. Okay. Steve's been a hot topic. Why not? Let's do that. Steve Bozell interrupts Larry and Gloria Grover's show. I can dig. Right. Okay. Yeah, The Old Man is what it's called. I'm a fan of Jeff Bridges. I guess that figures that I'd be a fan of Jeff Bridges. I got a fucking verified badge, man, on IMDb. All right, so good. Groovy. Got that. Boom. Love you. Now, where are we? I'll tell you where we are. We are back to 99, October. And so therefore, here's where we're at. The one, October 2000, September 2000, December 99. Okay. Yeah. Then what else did we watch? We watched something kind of cool. A documentary on John Cazale. Really great. John Cazale was the actor who played Fredo in The Godfather. John Cazale is the guy who was the sidekick of Al Pacino's as they robbed the bank in Dog Day Afternoon. The really nervous dude. Sal. Was that his name, Sal? John Cazale was in the... It was Gene Hackman's partner in The Conversation. He's a hell of an actor. And there's a whole... like a handful of movies. Every movie he was in was fucking... John Cazale was one of Robert De Niro's buddies who went hunting with him in The Deer Hunter after he comes back from Vietnam. Cazale is one of these mealy-mouthed kind of... Yeah, I would have gone myself, but I had, fallen arches or some shit. And he's kind of jealous of Robert De Niro's veteran status, coming back and everybody loving him and kissing his ass because he was a veteran. He came back from Vietnam alive. And Cazale resents him for that. So that's a great character he played in Deer Hunter. Through all of the filming of Deer Hunter, Meryl Streep was John Cazale's girlfriend. I don't know. Maybe they were even fucking engaged. I don't know. But she was with him. And she's featured in the documentary. She said he was a remarkable guy. Everybody that talked about Al Pacino said he was the best actor I ever worked with. Gene Hackman had amazing shit to say about him. Steve Buscemi kicks the whole thing off talking about him. Philip Seymour Hoffman, Sam Rockwell, on and on. Young and old actors, different generations of actors, talking about John Cazale. So if you get a chance, I recommend you start off. The Godfather's too much to wade through. Watch Dog Day Afternoon if you haven't seen it. Because there's only a handful of actors that are at the center of this, of Dog Day Afternoon, the movie. And John Cazale is Al Pacino's partner. And he's super nervous, and he's sweating, and he's ready to just kill everybody in the bank. He doesn't give a fuck. All right, let's get to work here, man. December the 3rd. There you are. What was I going to talk about... What was I going to talk about on this show? I said, I'll talk about it on the show. Now I goddamn forgot. How do you like that? Oh, people asking about that. Where are we going to do it next? Okay. Excuse me. Here we go, bitches.